Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America, here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And the Lincoln Journal star's Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake, sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen. Early Break, full show ahead. Big, full packed sports weekend. We have lots to get to in terms of coaches fired, coaches hired, games that were won and lost by teams, some surprises this weekend. Sip, how are you this fine Monday morning?
Better than usual.
That's good. You get some rest this weekend,
yeah,
or what?
Yeah, I did. The off season's upon us. I have mixed emotions about that. Mixed emotions about the off season. It's kind of the new season, and that there's going to be a lot to cover. Nebraska's coaching changes, which we're already starting to get some pretty good info on, and then the transfer portal stuff.
Yes.
And Adrian's got a big decision that's probably looming this week. So a lot going on there.
Yes, there is.
Hey, you got a hat on. Why do you got a hat on?
I feel like my face looks really pale on the stream, so I'm trying to help that out by wearing a hat. I usually don't care at all about my looks, but for some reason,
that's just really
uncharacteristic. You look good with your hat, and then I'm just like this white, pale face over here. So the hat's going to help me out there.
Well, yeah, we have.
We have
the same hat on, which is a little odd.
I have light hair.
Yeah.
And it's balding also, so it shines a little bit and makes the screen like the flash from a camera when you see my face.
Do we need Harrison to join the cap club?
Yes.
Wear a ball cap.
Yes, the answer is yes to
that
question.
He has a full head of hair. He's the only one in the building right
now.
Yeah,
well, he's also 22. I'm 30. I have less of an excuse than you do. You're 55. I'm 30. He's got more. He has more hair than he can handle over there.
I think we got to rename that segment we do, Aging Gracefully, to Aging Quickly.
Oh boy.
And you can join
in. I can join in on that, yeah.
I think you have a good idea. I like the cap look. It's funny to me that you are that concerned
First time I've really been concerned about my looks.
You are kind of like a lighthouse in the night.
I know.
Night.
I know. I don't want to be the lighthouse all the time. I want to be normal.
Ships could see you and know where to go.
Yeah, exactly. Where's Jake? Go find him. Beam him. 402-464-5685. Call or text the show. As always, you can watch and comment also on the Sauter Heyman Jewelers video stream on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. Of course, this show is sponsored by Gaina Trucking. Check out their current job openings at GainaTrucking.com. All right, so Nebraska played, of course, on Friday. Sip, Nebraska, as you said before the show, it feels like that was like a week ago. It feels like it was a long time ago. It was still just 3 days ago. Nebraska led 21-6 against Iowa and 21-9 going into the fourth quarter. We all know the story that happened then. It blocked punt for a touchdown, gave Iowa new life. Nebraska folded after that, pretty much.
Well, they went. They got the safe. There was the safety.
That was after the block punt, yeah.
Right, and a fumble. You know, Logan Smothers fumbled right in direct succession. I mean, so right after the blocked punt for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They come back, and Nebraska has a safety and gets a safety. Logan's tackled in the end zone and throws the ball as he's being tackled, and it's a intentional grounding, which is then a safety, and then he fumbles on the ensuing possession. Iowa makes the comeback. It's all a little what I wrote and what I feel. It's all a little too predictable.
Yeah.
Yep. Nebraska outplays Iowa.
Yep.
For three quarters, looks much of the afternoon like the better team, but when the block occurs, and Scott addressed it after the game, he said he looked at his kids and they looked okay, but he even wondered. You know, is this going to be, okay, what's going to happen next? And you have a new quarterback out there who suddenly, now Logan Smothers played well, admirably well most of the day, but suddenly he's under pressure and the whole thing changes.
Yep.
Right? Everything changes when the heat comes, right? Now the momentum's going against you. The element of surprise is gone. Nebraska benefited from the element of surprise, but now – it's the fourth quarter, and here comes Iowa. They're right on you. And now how is your team going to respond?
And as you said, very, very predictable what happened. Sad, because Nebraska, again, like they have it in every game, was in it. They led by 15 points in the second half.
I know.
They led by 12 going into the fourth quarter on your home field. And this is what we talked about all week long, Sip. The biggest difference, there's some differences, but the biggest difference between Iowa and Nebraska is special teams. They are elite. Nebraska is putrid. And it showed up in one big play to change everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with you. I mean, after this game.
I'll say it again. Elite, putrid. Right. Putrid on this side. Putrid.
Right. I think Scott is now inclined, and he hasn't said it publicly, but everything I'm hearing behind the scenes suggests that he is definitely inclined to hire a dedicated special teams coach, a coach who will coach only special teams. And I think, I mean, listen, there's no guarantees in that's going to change.
You're right,
it.
There's not.
I mean, Bruce Reed was
yes.
a dedicated special teams coach under Mike Riley, and it's not like they had flawless special teams, but it would... At this point, you need to change something.
Something's got to
right.
be addressed.
Yeah, you need to change something at this point. And then the other factor is, I mean, there would be pitchforks. I mean, the fan base. Like, it would be a horrible PR move if Scott just said, no, we're going to do it like we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
No, he can't do that. I don't think at this point you can do that. Now, to be fair, there was just one... I mean, they just blew an assignment on that play. I mean, it's a very interesting discussion. To me, I say, well, you have to get it so they don't blow an assignment. And Iowa, on the other hand, now this is where it gets interesting to me. You know the guy who blocked that punt, Marchese is his name? And he said after the game, we had worked on that all week. We saw that if they were on the left hash, that there was that we could get to them in this certain way. So that's called coaching, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
awareness that, and coaching.
Okay, so I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Iowa players, okay? All right? Now, think about this. Think about it. Henry Marchese is the guy's name. And he said they talked a lot of the week about how if Nebraska's in this certain spot on the left hash, you know, on the left hash, that – We know we can get to them. And what they did basically was the guy, you know, they have the shield and the guy on the left-hand side. Iowa took that shield member out, basically, giving Marchese a clear path to the punter. So number 13 for Iowa coming off the edge knew he wasn't going to be impeded. So he came like a missile because they had worked on that all week. All right? Now think about how that team feels, okay, we worked on this all week, and boom, it just worked. Now, think about the injection of confidence for Iowa.
It took over.
The coaches told us this would work. It worked. And look what happened. We get a touchdown out of it?
Yeah, that's just a block. You scored on the play.
Yeah, ball pops up in the air, and Kyler Fisher grabs it and goes in.
It seemed
that's
like
coaching.
It seemed like on that play they were so confident that it wasn't. They could have had like four guys that blocked that kick, right?
I don't know about that.
I don't think so. I'm saying this though.
No, there was one guy.
Well, let me say that they got right through that Nebraska line, and there was a lot of guys near the football.
No, there wasn't. There was one.
Really?
Guy. No, it was Marquise.
I'll watch it, you kid. But it feels like there's a lot of guys.
Yeah, watch it. I mean, they rushed like you do, but there was a shield.
It just felt like there was pressure right away there.
There was one guy that got through, and that was the deal, and that was what they worked on, and boom, there it is. And now you're like, oh, God. I mean, I think everybody felt that, right?
Yeah, well, that was me in the state, not in the stands, but watching, saying this is how this goes south. And there was still plenty of time left.
21-9.
You're up at that point.
Oh, it was 21-16.
Yeah, you're still up by five. You're still up by five, and you felt like the game was over. That's the sad part about Nebraska, is that even when you're leading, if something like that happens, you feel like here we go again. And in fact, it was here we go again.
Well, and then what happened was, yeah, Iowa kept pressing on the next possession. First of all, I got to check that, make sure I got Henry Marchese's name right. Yeah, hold on. I'll get it. Marchese. Yes, Henry Marchese. That's exactly right. So Henry Marchese blocks the punt, and we all know the feeling everybody got. But then Iowa kept pressing, right?
Yes, as they should.
Right.
They had the momentum.
Right.
They're trying to win a division title, which they are, which they did, by the way.
On the next possession, Logan Smothers made his first major mistake of the game, losing a fumble while trying to make a handoff, right?
Yes, yep.
All right, the defense held, forced a punt, and Oliver Martin made a fair catch at the 7. Now, I think that's okay.
I was fine with that.
Okay, yeah, I wondered about what you thought about that.
There's a chance that ball gets closer to the 1, you know?
Yeah.
It's a gray area, but yeah. I saw a lot of guys in the NFL yesterday making fair catches inside the 10.
Yeah, I didn't think that was the problem. The problem, what happened after that was the problem, which was Smothers was called for intentional grounding as he's being sacked in the end zone.
Yeah,
safety.
That's the problem.
Now it's 21-18, right? And now the outcome's beginning to feel excessively predictable, right?
Yep.
I would.
And you're still leading. You're still up by three,
but 21-18.
But we know how this ends.
Yeah.
But Iowa doesn't even take – they tied the game with a field goal, though.
I know.
They didn't take the lead with a touchdown. They did eventually, but they tied it up first at 21-all before they did the touchdown.
Well, what happened pretty soon brings up a whole – another conversation, which is Nebraska's defense has been leaky against the run, and what happened? Tyler Goodson dashes 55 yards to the 14.
That's right.
Goodson, as I expected, was a problem. 23 attempts, 156 yards. He's a good back. He's not Braylon Allen. By the way, Minnesota stuffed up Braylon Allen.
He did.
Excuse me. But Tyler Goodson, you know, went to the 14, and a short time later, Iowa went up 28-1. 28-21 with 2:58 left. Smothers had the guy to come back, and that's just not.
He had a drive. But it ended in an ugly interception at the goal line, which nobody was in the area for Nebraska. It felt like
right. What happened was Levi Falk had a. It's a choice to either run a post route or break it off and go to the corner or just break it off. He broke it off. He broke off the route. Smothers thought he'd kept going. I'm not sure whose fault that is. Frost said they worked on that play 1,000 times. My guess is it's Smothers' fault. I don't know that. So there you go. And you know, Iowa intercepted a pass. Go figure. That's what they do. Right. So it all felt – what I said in the outcome is it all felt a little too predictable for my liking.
But it's just sad that in saying that, Nebraska led this game in the second half by 15 points.
I know.
Like, if you lose, if it's close the whole way and it ends like that, okay, well, then it's more predictable. The fact you were overcoming some demons in this early on to take a 15-point lead against a nemesis for you recently in the Hawkeyes, who now beat you 7 straight times.
But was it really surprising to you that Nebraska was ahead? Was that...
But 21-6?
That was predictable to me. Yeah, I thought Nebraska had a great chance to win the game.
I didn't think they'd be up by double digits at any point, really. I thought they'd up by 15 points.
Yeah.
They looked good.
They were in control.
They were in control.
So this is what drives you nuts, right? They're in control of that game for three quarters. And for much of the game, looked like the better team.
Yep.
And then, but what I mean by predictable is what does Iowa do? They just, I bet they literally say, hey, guys, Nebraska, they'll botch this. They'll botch this.
They'll give it to you. Yeah. Let them take it from them.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get some turnovers. Maybe we'll make a big play in special teams, and we'll get them. Just wait. Be patient, guys. Be patient. Be patient.
They'll give it
to you. Be patient. Be patient. Then, boom, pounce.
Told you. Now go take it.
Yeah.
It's a very sad feeling as a Nebraska
fan. And it's very predictable. But I will say this. It's fascinating, Jake. I watch people really close after those games and just in general. And first of all, the stadium was alive. It felt like Nebraska was playing for the division title, which, by the way, congratulations to the Iowa Hawkeyes, champions of the Big Ten West. How about that, by the way? 10-2, 7-2.
I think I saw we'll get to Michigan next segment, but I think they opened as 10.5-point underdogs in that game to Michigan.
But what I was going to say is contrast that stadium, which was full and throaty. I mean, that was loud. That was a loud crowd on Friday in Lincoln. Contrast that to Texas, where there's at least 30,000 empty seats.
Well, I think it's more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was ugly.
Thank you for saying that.
That was a horrifying scene for them.
It was officially 25,000 empties. But I looked at it and said, there's more.
No way.
Right. So contrast Nebraska. And what I was going to say is this. I'm walking out, or I'm walking to the interview area. I'm watching Nebraska fans closely, and they're pissed. I mean, they are pissed. It is not, we weren't expected to win. We're 3-9. This game didn't mean anything. No. That's not what I saw. I saw people that were pissed. And that's good. That is good. Because the indifference is the worst.
Yeah. Well, they also were up by 15 points. They have a reason to be pissed about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Indifference is bad. The fan base here is incredible. It was still engaged completely at the end of the game as Nebraska was trying to pull off the win. And then they were angry at the end, and that is only good. If you saw a Texas scene, that's trouble. That would get an AD's attention in a big way. Texas scene versus Nebraska scene. I mean, there's a lot of teams that if they were 3-9, there'd be nobody in the stands.
Yeah. Well, most teams, really.
Yeah, most.
Besides Nebraska a couple other teams.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maybe I don't even know
what teams out there besides Nebraska could feel the full stadium with a 3-8 team going into the game.
Right. We have to make sure we always keep that in mind here. These fans are incredible.
Yeah, but it's not guaranteed going forward. I mean,
it's never guaranteed.
You got to get results to make that happen going forward.
And part of the reason is Nebraska is the first team in college football history to lose 9 one-score games, single-digit games. 9 single-digit games. They kept playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't give up.
No, they didn't. Yeah, you didn't see a team that quit.
No. But I would say, we better get to Chris. Chris has been hanging.
Yeah, before I get to Chris.
Hold on, Chris.
I'm sick.
Hold on.
This is the type of stat I'm sick of being lumped in with for Nebraska. This is from Matt Brown, a football writer for College Football. He says, this is now the first time ever that Florida State, Texas, Nebraska and USC will all finish a season with losing records. That's happened too often. Nebraska's lumped in with first time this and this, and this has happened in the bad
one. Look at those places, though. Look at those places, then compare where they are geographically to where we are geographically. How do you do that at USC?
Well, they're not going to anymore.
No, they're not.
which we'll get to. Hang tight now.
Yeah, that's true.
Those days are done for USC.
Yes, they are.
Their trying times are about to end.
Here comes Pac-12 title after Pac-12 title
Coach
after
of the year.
Pac-12 title, and they will bury UCLA in the Westwood ground where they stand.
UCLA had their little chance there for a couple years. It's over now.
Let's see. Okay, now, Chris will adjust Logan Smothers, but we really got to talk about Logan Smothers at some point.
We will. Let's get to Chris on the Honda Lincoln Hotline, 402-464-5685. Chris, you're on early break. Good morning.
Say good morning, Steve, Jake.
Thank you for being patient, Chris.
Oh, no problem, Steve. Well, Steve, you're exactly right. When I left that game and people up, although we had quite a few Iowa people up there in the West Balcony.
That's one.
You know, a lot of Nebraska people sold out. I hate to say this, but hey, it's time we face some facts here. You're right, Steve. When I left that place and during that fourth quarter, which seemed like a living hell, I tell you what, I was pissed. Yeah. I told you guys 3 weeks ago.
Right.
But I expected to win this game. This Iowa team was beatable, and I would be disappointed if we did not win this game. Well, I tell you what, it went beyond disappointment living through that fourth quarter. You know, a 21-6 lead with 15 minutes and about 50 seconds left in the game, you know, and you cannot hold on to it. That is a loser's mentality, and that, you know, which right now, it's stinking up the football program over there. I was telling the producer there,
Harrison. Yes.
We had a couple of Iowa guys behind us, pretty knowledgeable Iowa guys,
okay.
And they were just patiently waiting.
Yes.
Patiently waiting.
Yeah,
they said, it'll happen.
Yep.
It'll happen.
Yep.
They'll make a mistake.
Yep.
They'll screw up.
Yep.
You know, and sure enough,
boom.
You know, and one guy, the Nebraska guy behind me goes, you know, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. I said, turned to him. I said, only Alfred Hitchcock and Stephen King can make stuff up like this.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, Steve, Jake, I'm to the point now. Nine losses, first time since 1957.
Right.
Are we showing any improvement from year one to the end of year four? You know, the effort is there. The wins are not. I don't know. I don't want to hear that we're close anymore. I can see that for two or three, four games to start the season. But when you're in game 12 and you're making the same mistakes, come on now. And the loser's mentality over there around that football program, you know, you can see it. You can feel it over there. You can feel it in the people in the stands, you know. And Steve, Jake, Friday morning before the game, we talked about Ty Goodson, that he's hurt us.
Yep.
And sure enough.
Bam.
Sure enough,
yeah.
we let him, we turned him loose. He had over, 150 yards, averaged about 7 yards a carry. You know, it's obvious in the Big Ten that it looks like you got to run the ball, which we can't do with our running backs, and you have to stop the run. Michigan, wonderful game.
Yeah.
Wonderful game.
Yeah.
What a complete team they are.
Yep.
And I wish them luck down the line. 300 yards rushing against Ohio State, held Ohio State to 70 yards rushing, and they get a 15-point win. And I'm Steve, Jake, I'm not a big fan of Michigan, but you know what? You know what? They deserve this one. I'll give it to Josh Perry on the Big Ten Network. He said 3 weeks ago, he says, Michigan to him, and he's an Ohio State alum.
Right. That's amazing
he said
that, yeah.
Michigan is the most complete team in the Big Ten, and you got to agree.
Yeah.
Perfect special teams, perfect defense against that. Hutchinson was a killer Saturday. But anyway, guys, hey, back to our game. You know, we just there's a lot to work on, and I'm worried about this, the future of this program. I've told you, Jake, you know, last summer that this is a four, which we went below this year, a 9-win program.
Yeah, you're right.
At its peak.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't see a change in that. Next year, the schedule's a little strange. We go back up to Wisconsin. We go to Iowa. I believe we go to Michigan. We go to Purdue. We haven't proven we can beat Minnesota. Illinois is getting better. Yeah. Rutgers has stopped piling talent out there in these recruiting classes. We got to go out there.
You always got fits,
and
though. You can
Oklahoma.
Beat
so yeah, Oklahoma. I don't know, Steve, Jake. I'm a frustrated fan, longtime season ticket holder and donor right now. I don't like the way this thing's shaping up even for next year. But, sorry to spew there, but I'm Steve, I'm one of those pissed-off fans right
I hear
now.
You. I hear you. I saw him. Yeah, now here's the thing. This staff knows it's got to happen next year. They got to turn on a dime, basically. And they did catch a break with Oklahoma losing its head coach yesterday. That'll make that game easier, depending on who they bring
in. They're losing
in,
recruits already out of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
top 5-star running back decommitted already.
But I get it. I mean, I saw the anger, and I'm going to keep saying it. That anger's good. I'm glad you're angry, because as a old girlfriend once told me,
boy, here we go.
Indifference is the worst thing. And
she's right.
right. I mean, you don't. If your girlfriend's indifferent, that's not good. You'd rather your girlfriend or your wife be angry. All right, not indifferent.
Yep.
If you see indifference, then you better, you know, I don't know, start packing your bags.
Skedaddle. Figure it out.
Vince.
It's a call from Vince in Napa, California. Vince, here on Early Break. Go ahead.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Vince, thanks nice to hear Vince. Your voice. How are you?
Well, you know, as far as Wes is concerned, I'm fine. Life as a Husker fan, on the other hand, well, that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But when the game was turning, you know, whether it was the blocked punt, whether it was the safety, mm-hmm. where Logan Smothers gets sacked and intentional grounding in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even watching it on TV, it was palpable. It was like, oh my goodness, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now I could sit here and talk about special teams until I'm blue in the face, which we obviously have, and I don't think there should even be a conversation that we need a dedicated special teams coach, because, you know, how many times do we have to watch game after game where we lose a game at least in part as a result of a crippling special teams blow? But one thing that I also saw is even when the game plan was going good offensively,
mm-hmm.
you know. Even that was somewhat flawed, because how many carries did Logan Smothers have at halftime?
We had 14 at halftime.
Okay, thank you, yeah.
14 at half. But anyhow, you know, when you don't have, you know, like we've talked about all year long, a conventional running game, and your quarterback keeps taking hits like that, well, that's not sustainable. You know, and to me, you look, I mean, now I know Chris alluded to the defense leaking oil and you know, the last couple weeks, but here's where the residual effect comes in. The residual effect that comes into not only the lack of a productive running game, but a lack of commitment to it. You know, and because when you're possessed, because the running game helps your entire team, from your quarterback run game to your play action run game to keeping your defense rested. And as a result, if they're more rested, they're more productive. You know, but I would say really the last probably 3 or 4 play callers we've had, even going back to Bill Callahan, have all had one thing in common, is that if a game gets dicey, I mean, whether we're ahead by a couple of scores and the opponent chips away at it, or we suddenly fall behind by one score, it almost seems like they panic and go into a pass mode, you know. But
yeah.
I mean, to me, that's where you have to stay patient with your running game, because when momentum is going against you, you have to stay patient. It's like, okay, maybe start to get a hold of this game a little bit, if I'm making any sense.
Yeah, you're making sense. You're making sense. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Vince. It's something where, again, we're all frustrated with what we see, that Nebraska is good in a lot of elements, and they just aren't good enough in other elements, and it just does, they can't get over the hump, and they just beat themselves consistently. And we're all frustrated. I mean, you heard the frustration in Chris's call before Vince even called in. You know, he said he was pissed off. This fan base is pissed. Mm-hmm. They deserve better. They're seeing, like I said, they're not indifferent. They are mad. This is not an indifferent fan base. They are, for the most part, I would say, when people I talk to, and you talk to, I assume, mm-hmm. are just mad because they didn't sign up for this. This is not what they expect when they go fill up the stands at Nebraska at Memorial Stadium and cheer on the team. You know, they could be like what you mentioned, other schools at 3-9 and have a half-empty stadium. That could easily happen here. Mm-hmm. It could. But fans show up because they expect more. And they are deservedly pissed about the results through 4 years, and especially here in year four, going 3-9.
Sure. Meanwhile, there's Iowa, and Kirk Ferentz said something really interesting. We're not the prettiest car in the lot. We're talking about the Big Ten West champion now. Okay. Iowa wins the Big Ten West. He said, we're not the prettiest car in the lot. In college, you've got a car that can get you from point A to point B. But it's not much to look at. That's probably us. We're not the prettiest car in the lot, but at least we get from point A to point B pretty successfully most of the time. That's really what it's all about, getting there. I'm proud of these guys. He should be. He should be really proud. I mean, that he managed their deficiencies very
sure
well.
Sure did.
And for the people who kept telling me after my column, including our good friend Lance Leipold, come on, Sip, you're a little hard on Frost. He's playing with a backup quarterback. I was playing with a backup quarterback. Iowa played with a backup quarterback. I mean, I'm not giving them that excuse. I didn't hear anybody cutting Bo Pelini slack when he was down to quarterback number three. I mean, no, you can't. That's not an excuse.
Petras did come back at halftime.
I know.
Third, second
but,
half.
But Padilla, they went to Padilla 3-2 games ago, whatever it was.
They did.
I mean, they had their backup quarterback in there. No, that's, you got to win.
And you're up 21-6.
And what the Hawkeyes do is manage their deficiencies really well. And that's
right.
What coaching is. All teams have deficiencies. Alabama has deficiencies. Ohio State has deficiencies. You have to manage your deficiencies. Michigan has deficiencies. You got to manage them. That's what coaching is. That's part of a big part of what coaching is. Every roster has holes on it in America. Okay? Every roster in America does. They have problems. It's how you manage those problems. Nebraska didn't do a good job of it. What my problem is very simple. A coach's job is to maximize his team. They didn't maximize. It's not like it was horrible because they played a wicked schedule. Okay, it was wicked. It was more difficult than we thought it was going to be. Even then, they should have been better than 3-9, right? They didn't maximize. And that's, if I were one of the coaches, that's what would bother me the most, is we didn't get all we could out of this team. It's a pretty good team, but we didn't get all we could out of it. If you get all you could out of this team, you would have beat Iowa. If you would have,
you'd be in a bowl game.
Yeah, if you would have probably.
I think so.
Yes,
I think so.
You probably should have got them to 6 or 7.
This team was talented enough to get 6-7.
Yeah, so. That's what it kind of boils down to, and the reason I bring that up is because what Ferentz said about his team. We're not the prettiest car on the lot. He said,
and
they're not.
No, but even right after after that game ended on BTN, he was asked about that as well. Right as the game ended, he says, we're not a stats type of team. These guys are just resilient.
Yeah,
basically the same thing. He knows we're not going to go out there and have the sexiest stats and have all the flashy touchdowns. We're just not. But we're going to find a way to win the game. And they do more often than not.
I don't want to say, though, that Nebraska is not a tough-minded team. I don't want to say that. And I don't know that I completely agree with Chris that there's a loser's mentality. I don't know. I don't know if I want to say that. There's something not right over there. Yeah, I don't think that. There's, as I've said a few times now in recent weeks, there's that ongoing conversation that pertaining to Frost Is it just a defect in his coaching acumen that they can't get over the hump? Or is that a sign that they're close? That's what we don't know. And you know what though? Here's the deal, Chris and everybody else. We're gonna find out next year, and they gotta turn it on a dime, or they're not gonna get much more time to do it.
When we come back, Sip's national title dream is dead. What happened? Up next, an early break in the Ticket.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.